Our study this morning is James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. As we consider the topic this morning, is my religion pure and undefiled? And what does that mean as we look at this passage in James? Before we study, shall we pray? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence, for you are the true and living God, and besides you there are no other gods. We come to worship you through the reading and teaching of your holy word. And so, Father, I pray that each of us will take all the cares and anxieties in our hearts and cast them upon you because you care for us. That our hearts and minds will be focused upon you and your word, as your Holy Spirit would give us understanding of your word and how this applies to us today. You would enable us to acknowledge our sin to you and confess and repent and ask for forgiveness, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Father, may your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed in their walk with you and in their relationship with you. And Father, how I pray that if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and by the power of your Spirit working in them, you will show them their sin against you and show them your love and forgiveness for them in Christ by confessing and repenting of their sin and trusting in Christ as their Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to define religion based on the context that we have here. Because religion can be explained and interpreted in a lot of ways. But it's very important we understand what James is talking about in religion. Notice how he begins. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. First of all, we have to look at that first phrase. If anyone thinks he is religious, the verb to think there means to have an opinion. To have an opinion. What is your opinion of yourself and particularly of religion? And as you understand it, do you consider yourself a religious person? That's the first thing. Then the next phrase, if anyone thinks he is religious, we need to look at the verb to be, is. What does that mean? It means to exist in a state or condition. So am I existing in a state of or condition of being religious? Then we need to look at the word religious. What is it? Now here's where we really need to focus. Religious. It means to be preoccupied with religious observances. To be preoccupied with religious observances. That's the first definition. What are religious observances? Now we need to look at the context of this chapter. What is this chapter all about? The chapter and the book of James is all about having faith in Christ alone for salvation and then seeing that faith, that if it's real in our lives, working out on a daily basis, with the way in which we conduct our lives. That's what this is. That's what religion is. It's what you and I are on the inside, and how what you and I are on the inside is demonstrated outwardly. That's what the key is here as we look at this. The other aspect of being religious is fearing God. How many of us fear God? Have you thought about that this week? How many of us really fear God in awe and respect of Him, showing Him the greatest respect, for He is the true and living God, and beside Him there are no other gods? Do we respect Him in all that He is? And as believers in Christ, we would say, sure I do. And I would say, do we? Do we really? So keep that in mind as we think about being religious. Now, then he goes into verse, the latter part of that verse, and he talks about outward behavior. He says here, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, whoa, if you think you're a religious person, that is, you fear God and you focus on observing religious observances, but you don't bridle your tongue. The word bridle here, you're familiar with that. It's, you put it in the horse's mouth and you guide that horse where you want that horse to go. In my experience in riding hay burners, sometimes they don't respect that. And sometimes we do not respect that either. We do what we want to do. We say what we want to say. But if our religion is sincere and true and real, the implication is here, we would bridle our tongue. We would keep our tongue under control. The word tongue here literally translates tongue, organ of speech. May also be interpreted as verbal communication. What you and I say to people, about people. And so if we are religious, we will bridle our tongue. If we're not, we don't. But it says here that, look at what it says here. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. Oh, look at that phrase. Deceives his heart. To deceive means to mislead. To mislead. Which we would say, our heart might be screaming out, hey, you're not as religious as you think. And we would say, yes, I am. I know who I am. But he doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart. Notice the heart. It's the source and seat of functions of the soul and the spirit. It's the person that you and I happen to be and are in Christ. Now, are we deceiving our hearts? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, Jesus once again is debating with the Pharisees. And in chapter 15, the Pharisees have caught the disciples of Jesus eating without washing their hands. And they're saying because that they have not washed their hands before they eat, they're defiling themselves. And just as an aside here, the Pharisees actually had a method in which you had to wash your hands. And some Pharisees thought that you put your hands out like this and pour water over the backs of your hands first, and then you flipped it over. Other Pharisees said, no, you wash the palms first, and then you flip it over. Now that's really important for your spiritual welfare, is it not? Be careful. This is what the Pharisees are saying. Now, in that chapter, let's go down to verse 17. Go down to verse 17. He's talking about what defiles a person. And look at verse 17. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. Now let's go back to James. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religious is worthless. This person's religion has no ground. It's hollow. It's insincere. Some folks believe that being religious, it's all external. If I go to church, I'm religious. If I know the hymns, I'm even more religious. And man, if I can quote a creed, I'm in heaven. I know how to bow my head. I know when to look up. I know when to sing and when not to sing. If that's your definition of religion, you're in a heap of trouble. You're in deep trouble. It's all external. It's a show. It's all what I do. And it never deals with the sin in the heart. I'll call these folks church people who like to talk about doctrine and theology, but rarely do you hear them talk about sin and confronting sin in their own lives. They know everybody else's. Rarely do they deal with their own sin. And they say they're religious. What is true religion? What does it mean to have true religion? Let's go on down now into verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God. Okay, now we're talking about religion that is pure and undefiled before God. Pure means ceremonially and morally clean. Undefiled means unsoiled. So this would be religious observances and a fear of God that is sincere, that takes seriously someone's relationship with Christ, someone who genuinely fears God and strives to be pure in heart in what they think and do. So this is good. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Well, isn't that external, to visit orphans and widows? Of course it is. But we have to look at the verb to visit. What does that mean? Why do you all visit people? Y'all do visit people, right? You know, you remember the days when we were all a lot younger and you just dropped in on people? You don't do that today. You might get the police at the door picking you up because you can't trust who's there anymore. Our society's bad. But there were times when even family would just come by and drop in. Why would we do that? Because in that verb to visit means, it means to show concern as you go. We visit because we're concerned. And if we're concerned, it's because we have the love of God in us and the fear of God in us. And we're concerned for other people. So it's more than an external. It speaks of the spiritual condition of the heart of the person that visits. So we do this. We visit. And who do we visit? Orphans and widows. Why were orphans and widows mentioned? Because they were the ones who had no one to stand for them and to speak on their behalf. They were the weakest in the society. They were the easiest to take advantage of because they had no one to really watch over them and watch out for them. But let's go on because there's more to it than that. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. To keep oneself unstained from the world. The word unstained there means it means to be morally pure and not to be depraved. We keep ourselves from sin creeping into our lives. We keep watch over ourselves. And the verb here, to keep oneself, means to give very careful attention. If we're religious people, we take our religion seriously. We take it seriously, and so we don't want to be defiled and stained by the ways of the world. Now, let's do away with the word religion because it doesn't have a good connotation in society. And let's put the word believer. If I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, Is my faith in Christ acceptable to Him? And James gives us the answer in the first part of this chapter. Because the whole chapter has to deal, if your faith is real, you should be able to look at your life and determine that your faith is real. So now, let's look first of all at the word faith. What does it mean to have faith in Christ? Two aspects of the word faith. First one is the truth. The truth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father has the eternal decree. He foreordained before the foundation of the world whatsoever comes to pass. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God becoming incarnate in Jesus Christ, and he comes to the earth, and he took upon himself a human body, but without sin. And he did that, and he suffered and satisfied the holy and just wrath of God on our behalf. So the Lord Jesus Christ ransomed us from the body of sin and death, and the penalty of death, eternal separation from God. And then the Holy Spirit applies that to our lives, enabling us to believe and trust in Christ as our Savior. That's the first part of faith. It's truth. So when we say we have faith in Christ, that means we believe that and we accept that as truth. The next aspect of it is trusting in it. Actually trusting that Jesus actually did this. That God actually planned it this way. That Jesus actually did it. And I am free from the bondage of sin and death. And the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, which is truth, lives within me. I believe that. You believe that. I trust in it. You trust in that. I trust in the Lord for my salvation. I trust in the Lord for my sanctification. I believe it. You believe it. Therefore, our religion is pure and undefiled before God. So that's faith. Now, in this same chapter of James, chapter 1, let's look at some verses that we've looked at previously. And first of all, in 19, this is where James said, Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Quick to hear. If I have faith in Christ, and my faith in Christ is real, and my religion is real, I'm going to be quick to hear. Well, who am I quick to listen to? How about God the Father? How about the Word of God as it's taught? How about in prayer? Do I ever have a time of prayer where I set aside and I just listen for God to speak to me? Or am I always telling God what He needs to do and how He needs to do it and how quickly He needs to do it? Has any of us listened to God this week? Have we been so busy and so important that we had plenty to tell God, but we didn't want to hear what He had to say to us? If our religion is true, we want to listen to Him. If it's sincere and we truly fear God, we want to listen. Notice here another part in verses 22 and 23. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Do we come and sit under the teaching of the Word of God and do not pay any attention to it? Oh, that applies to them over there. Don't worry about it. That group over there needs to hear this. I hope they're hearing it. It doesn't apply to me. If our religion is real, and we have the fear of God that we should have, then we should have a desire to hear that word. We should have a love for that word. And when we hear that word, we just don't say, yeah, I struggle with that. All right, what are we doing this afternoon? Where y'all want to go eat lunch? What are you doing tomorrow? You see, if our religion is real, if our faith is real, and we're serious about the relationship that we have with Christ, and He really is who we think He is and trust that He is, we won't forget His Word. We will practice what we have been taught by the Spirit of God. And we won't let the world stain us. We won't let the sin come into us. We take the Word of God seriously. Paul gives us the answer here in Romans chapter 12. Turn to Romans chapter 12. As I've meditated on this and thought, what is our core problem here as believers in Christ? What's our problem? And the Holy Spirit led me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We get a thinking a little bit more important about ourselves than we really are. Someone has said, and when you hear a lot of criticism about yourself, really don't take that to heart because, you know, you might not be that bad. And you definitely don't need to think that whenever everybody's praising you, you really think you're that good. You're not. So we have to have a balance. And the only way you and I can maintain that balance is to keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ through His Word. That's the only way. Because if I focus on myself, I will have the tendency to think more highly of myself than I ought. And that's so easy for every one of us to do. But by the grace of God, we are who we are. We are what we are. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. That is so true. That is so true. I can't stand here and teach you all as Richard Trucks. I can only stand here as a vessel of God that the Spirit of God works through. There's no way I can teach you all. No way whatsoever. I don't even pretend to. And we're all in the same situation. If our religion, which means the observance part of this definition, means we worship regularly, we pray regularly, we study the Scriptures, and we practice what the Holy Spirit teaches us and how the Holy Spirit leads us. And that causes us to be focused on Christ and Him alone and no one else. And it takes a balanced life of what James calls religion, what I would call biblically in defining religion, is a balanced life of following Christ, faithful in worship, faithful in personal Bible study, faithful in prayer, and being led by the Spirit of God. Those make up religion, what real religion is. It's not one of convenience. I'll worship when it's good for me, when I don't have anything better to do. I worship regardless. I pray regardless. I study the Word of God. I meditate on it. And by the grace of God, I follow the Spirit of God leading me in every area of my life. Am I perfect? No. I am not perfect. But I strive by the grace of God to follow the Spirit of God in every area of my life. That is biblical religion. And that's what God expects from every one of us. How are we doing? Don't think about anybody else. Husbands, wives, anybody else. Just think about yourself before God. How's your religion? Is it real? Do you see evidence in your life that is real based on James, just James chapter 1 alone? Do you and I see evidences of that in our own lives? That's the true test of a real believer. He or she practices what they believe, what they've been taught. Brothers and sisters, in the day and age in which you and I are living, this world is getting spiritually darker by the moment. And we are the lights. We are the light that God has called us to be in our neighborhoods, in this neighborhood where we work. People should be able to listen to us and watch us and sense in us that there's something different. And if they can't tell us from the world, we have a serious spiritual problem. If this church is no different than any civil organization, we have a serious problem as a church. And the responsibility falls on each believer to make sure that our religion is pure and undefiled before God. Is it? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, Father in heaven, may each one of your children here today humble themselves in your presence and take a very sincere and honest evaluation of who we really are in Christ. Not who we think we are, but who we really are. And as you work in us by your Holy Spirit, and as you bring sin to our hearts and minds, oh, how I pray that we would genuinely confess that sin to you and repent and ask for your forgiveness. Knowing that when we do confess and repent and ask for your forgiveness, you do indeed forgive us. And Father, I pray for anyone here today who thinks they're religious but they're not a believer in Christ, that they've seen by the Holy Spirit revealing to them that they're not a believer in Christ, they're just religious. Oh, may they come to know you today. So, Father, as we sing this closing hymn, I pray that you will continue to speak to us and that our hearts would be receptive to you. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.